You know what he was expecting? About 6 weeks. He's expecting you get it, you'll get to it, you're working in with your schedule. But guess what? I say, that's an easy thing. I'm organized. I can fit this in, not hurt none of anything I got going on. I can get this done. And I went and got it done. And I'm going to tell you, it was impressive to him. Because he just making a round, looked up there, and what he had asked for was done. Now, when he needs something done next time, who he coming to? Who's he more prone to come to? Why? He make things happen. Why is he making things happen? Because he organized. I wasn't the smartest. But you don't have to be the smartest. If you have some good work ethic and you stay organized, that organization, and you listen to the Holy Ghost, and that's key right there. And you listen to the Holy Ghost, tell you when to do things and how to get them done and when to go to a place, when to talk to somebody, who you need to talk to. I'd run into dead end after dead end of trying to find help, and I just keep on knocking. Somebody gonna help me. Because I'm sowing the seed. I'm helping anybody that asks me for help, I'm helping them. So I'm expecting, I'm sowing the seed for future help.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 1, Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, help, I've fallen, and I can't get up. Help, I've fallen, and I can't get up. Paul writes this letter not only to the church of Galatia, but to the body of Christ to help us understand that there are some things that we deal with that we are incapable of delivering ourselves from without the help and the aid of another brother and sister in Christ Jesus. There are things that we deal with. There are things that deal with us. There are things that we delve in, and there are things that delve in us. There are things that grab hold of us, and there are things that grab hold of, and we grab hold of it. And yet, in the end, the result is the same. We are overpowered by something we do not have the power to deliver ourselves from. How many brothers and sisters in here would be honest and say that you've fallen at one point in time in your life, and if it hadn't been for the love of another brother or sister, you'd still be down? Amen. And so here is the truth of the Word of God, and this is what we need to look at and understand. Paul writes this letter, and he starts off with the first word, brethren, because it's important to understand we're talking about a family relationship, children of God, all belonging to our Heavenly Father. So when he says this, he then says, if a man be overtaken, and the word overtaken in the Greek means to be detected or to be found out, discovered, in a fault. And that means, again, something that is ungodly, something that is sinful, something that is unlike the righteousness of the Lord. Ye which are spiritual, talking about those who are born again and filled with the Spirit of God, not just talking about church folk, because all church folk are not spiritual. So he's talking about born again, filled with the Spirit of God, people of God who recognize that they are saved by the grace of God, and they're not there to pick and point at brothers and sisters who have fallen short or who are less than what they believe themselves to be. Listen to what it says. Ye which are spiritual, restore. Again, the word restore literally means to bring someone back to their original place in God and in grace, which means if you are spiritual, your being what you are is by God's grace, and what you remain in and are is by His grace. So when you reach down and help someone who has fallen beneath you or someone behind you, you are to help bring them to that place of their original standing with God and in grace, and not act like you are superior to them because God has helped you to help them. And it means to restore them back to their original place of respect, of honor, their place of grace in the Lord, without you having the ability to hold something over their head. Listen to what it says. Such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, you can't ever pick somebody else up from the ground without remembering that someday, some way, God picked you up from the ground. And all He's literally doing through you is what He's done to you. He is using you to pick someone else up, like the day He did when He picked you up. And so it's a spirit of meekness, because you realize it could have been you. Still down on the ground, still in the mess you were in, still living life backwards, still all by yourself. It could have been you. And so God uses you who has been delivered, who has been set free, to reach down and lift someone else up with the understanding that God has been so gracious to me, I want to share that with someone else. But listen to what else it says. Not just the spirit of meekness, but considering thyself. Now, too many of us try to help folk without remembering ourselves and or considering ourselves. Because here's a fact I need you to know. You can be messed up. And as messed up as you are, He can help you pick somebody up who's a little more messed up than you. He don't use perfect people to pick you up. He used people to pick you up that have also had issues, who also have issues, and who are still remembering that the issues they had been delivered from would not have been a deliverance had the Lord not looked beyond their faults and met their need. So listen at this, because I want you to see this again. It says, lest thou also be tempted or tested or tried or found out. And so when you look at this and you use this in this context, I don't care what the fault is, it may not be the same thing that floats your boat. But the truth of the matter is, there is something. David calls it his secret sin. You see, some of us try to act like we ain't got no sin. And some of us have camouflaged it so well that we have forgotten. We've packed it away so deep, hid it down in the dark crevices of our heart. And for a little while, we've forgotten about it. But then all you got to do is keep on living. And one day you decide it's time to clean out your closet. And then you stumbled on a photograph. And it kind of made you laugh. And it took you. Oh, somebody hear what I'm saying here. Back down. Don't act like you ain't got no memory lane. You might not live on memory lane, but you got a memory lane. Because all of us have been delivered from something or somebody. Oh. Amen, light. And it may be that secret sin. If I call her name, you could have been married 50 years. If I call his name, if I call that activity, if I call this, it's so embedded. Don't act like you ain't never been picked up, brought out, delivered, and kept by the grace of God. And so you need to remember yourself so that you are able to realize that you too have issues still. Considering yourself so that the fault, not the fault of the fellow you're helping, but that sin that does so easily beset you, because by the grace of God you have been brought to a place that God has kept you from allowing that issue, that sin, that shortcoming from besetting you. I mean, let's think about it. If it hadn't been for the Lord, how many times have you just said, Lord, that's all right, I don't want you to keep me, I'm going to go on and do this here. Don't keep me, Lord. And so since you were so foolish and didn't want to be kept, he just moved the other thing out your way. You would have did it if you could have got to it. So since you ain't have sense enough to do right, he moved them, it. Y'all going to act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about now. Listen at this word. Moving on to verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, I'm going to get down into the fifth verse, and I'll deal with that a little more extensively. But here it gives us the opportunity to share in encouraging one another while one another deals with the load or the responsibility of our own decisions. Now, this is important now, because what I need you to understand and get a clear understanding is when it says bear ye one another's burdens, it does not literally mean to take off of them what they have gotten into themselves. It literally gives a whole new understanding of encouraging them while they go through. It is being there for them, a support system. It does not mean, there is a difference between bearing and babying. Doesn't say baby one another. And some folk like to be baby. They like to make the mess, but they don't like to clean up the mess. They like to do their own thing until they get caught or caught up or messed up. And then they want you to get them out of the, they want to spend their own money the way they want to, but when their bills are due. They want you to pay it, not make a loan or help them out. They want you to just give it to them. Now, they done gave theirs to the boats and to the pick threes and the liquor and the drugs and the this and the Macy's and the Foley's and the, y'all know what I'm talking about. And then bill time come and they tell you, I can't pay my bill. What does that mean then, that I'm going to take my house note and pay your house note when I've been, you know, working and putting mine aside responsibly because I knew first 15th, whatever came, and I had to pay that money? And, I mean, does God mean for me to take mine away from me and my family to pay for yours when you've been out there extravagantly spending and giving yours away? No. No, that's not at all what it means by helping you bear one another's burden. But what it literally means is to be a support system for them. Amen. Now, how can you be a support system? One, you don't necessarily have to, I mean, you know, rag on them about what they've done with their money, et cetera, et cetera. But it's clear that when they mess it up, you've got to help them understand if you keep doing what you do, you're going to keep getting what you get. So now, here is the thing. You know, you might be able to tell them, listen, you might need to call them up, see if you can get you an extension. I'm trying to help somebody in the house. You might need to tell them, listen, why don't you call up a few other folk? I got $50. I got $100. Why don't you call so-and-so and try and get, because I can't do all this on my own. But what you do is you help them process through the situation. And then you tell them, say, okay, if you can't do that, listen, you all getting paid here. You call the people up. Tell them you don't have the money right now. But on your next payday, and you just might have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and then just extend that grace period. That's why it's called grace. And you help them to process through their problem and say, listen, when we get through all of this mess, I know you're not going to do the same thing next month. Because what you're helping them to do is bear their burdens. In other words, you're not leaving them that. Sometimes you can't help folk by carrying their load, but being there and helping them to work smarter rather than harder.
That's right.
Now listen to this, because this is important, and I'll share this with you when we get to the fifth verse again about this burden. But notice here again, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Turn your Bibles to John 13 chapter, if you don't mind. And let's see what this law of Christ is. Verse 34 and 35, you'll see what the word says fulfilling this law of Christ is. Amen. John 13 chapter 34th verse says, a new commandment. Somebody say a new commandment. Amen. I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this love shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So listen at this. While you're helping the bear burden of a brother or sister, nobody said it couldn't be tough love. So this is the love of Christ. Listen, when Christ straightens your life out, it doesn't mean you still won't have some rough days and some tough days, and you won't have to deal with the consequences of your decisions. But what you do realize is he loves you enough to handle and to care for you, to bring you back into a right place with him. And what he did for us, each one of us, is he helped us to be able to handle, and he traded off the burdens of sin in this world and gave to us. We still have a burden, the burden of loving folk. And if you don't think it's real, just try and love your enemies. Don't act like you just get excited, folk cuss you out, treat you wrong, talk about you, do you wrong. You just say, ooh, I love you. John said, you're lying. The truth isn't in you. It's a burden to love some people. You don't believe it? Sometimes it's a burden to love yourself. Paul said, every time I attempt to do good, evil is always present. But before he said that, he said, listen, there's a war going on. I wrestle with the things I know I shouldn't do, and I do the things that I shouldn't do. When I know the things I should do, I don't do them. And when I don't do the things I should do, and it's so easy for me to do the things I don't do, and I know I shouldn't do, he said, there's an issue that I'm fighting with every day. The flesh warring against the spirit.
Amen.
Yes, it's not an easy thing, not even sometimes to deal with your own shortcomings and shortfalls. It's important to realize loving you the way the Lord loves you is a burden many times. So what do you think about loving your brother, your sister, as he has loved you? That means without compromise, without unconditional, without making them feel bad. He loves you, listen, in spite of you. I mean, in all of these ways he loved you, and you can just sit down and get you a list and write down all the ways the Lord loved you.
Yeah.
And then he says, now put whomever, your enemy, your friend, your brother, your sister, as I have done to you, do also unto them. Man, that changes things. So that's a burden many times to love that way, but we are commissioned and commanded to love that way so we can fulfill the law of Christ. But look at what verse 3 says. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, no thing, he deceiveth himself. For if a man think himself, it's all right when you fool me. But it's a whole nother story when I fool myself. If a man think he is something, Now don't get me wrong and don't get it twisted. We ought to think of ourselves as God thinks of ourselves. But listen to this. But if we think more highly of ourselves than we really are. You think you're first class material.
Say that.
When the truth of the matter is you're third class material. Let me tell you why you deceive yourself. Because first class material no first class status. And just because you call yourself first class and do not bear the markings of first class, you will not be invited by first class because you're still third class. Now listen at this. Nobody said you couldn't graduate from third class, but it's when you think you're first class while you're still in third class, you're deceiving yourselves. Listen at this, because here is the whole point of the matter. It's making you believe a false reality. Now listen at this. You can be on a third class level and still have first class in you. But that first class in you has to be developed and brought out of you before you can be promoted to first class. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? First class doesn't come from without, it comes from within. And man doesn't categorize you and make you this or that. You do that yourself. Doesn't matter what man thinks you are. What matters most is what you know you are. Not think you are. See, that's how a lot of folk get messed up, because they think they deserve more than what they got. They think they ought to be here when they're there. They think they ought to have this when they've got that. Now listen at this. You have got to know. There's a major difference. I know I'm a child of God. I know I've been born again. I know I've been saved and set free. I know I've been delivered. I know I've been elevated. I know I've been exalted. I know. Why? Because the evidence is there, not only in the word, but also in the world, meaning it's been manifested.
Yeah, right.
And so when you know that, there is a major, major reality that speaks life. You ever heard somebody say, that person has presence? When they walk in the room, all heads turn and so forth and all the rest of that stuff. See, they don't have to think they something.
That's right.
Y'all gonna catch that. They ain't got to think they something, because when they walk in, everybody know they something.
Amen.
It's not about an arrogance. It's about a reality. And who you are, your anointing, who you are, and the what the Greeks call the ethos, all that makes you you, stands up with you, and it speaks for you. You ain't got to say a word. Your essence speaks by him. Who is that? Who that is that you're talking about? You ain't got to be dressed down with, you know, the finest of clothes. You can have an humble spirit, walk in. You're not all arrogant, chest all out, puffed all up. You just you.
Yeah. Amen. That's it.
But it draws. And folk want to know what that is. Because what they really want to know is, what is that something about you, that oomph? It's your anointing. It's your anointing. And see, what folk don't understand is they can mimic your walk, your habits and your actions and all those things, but they can't mimic your anointing. And so they can try and imitate you, but they won't have the duplication of your anointing. And so what they think themselves to be when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. Here's the truth. They ain't fooling nobody. They're just deceiving themselves. It's right here in Scripture. And I said, when I get to this verse, if they get quiet, I'm going to know I got a problem. For if a man think himself to be something more highly thought of than he really should, when he is nothing. Now, listen at this. It's all right to think yourself something when you're something. It's when you think yourself something when you're nothing. Did you just get that? Look at the scripture. I don't think I'm putting down nobody. If a man, verse 3, 6th chapter, Galatians. For if a man think himself to be something when he is what?
Nothing.
He deceiveth whom?
Himself.
Now, ain't a thing wrong with thinking you all that when you're all that. It's when you ain't that that you think you're all that you deceive yourself. I'm glad verse 4 is in the Bible. It might help you the next. But let every man, here is where you get to put the rubber to the road. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. But let every man prove, try, test his own work.
Yes.
Now, here's what you know. You know when you know you're something? Uh-huh. When you don't have to get approval from somebody else. When you really don't need nobody to pat you on the back. When you can rejoice in the work, in the labor that you have done without the praise of men. When you are overjoyed at what God has produced through you, has used your hands, your mouth, your mind, your feet, your all to produce this work, and you know, listen at this, God used you, and it was you in God doing what it is that you've done, so that God gets the glory and you get the good, and it don't matter whether man likes it or not, it's all right and it is well, because this thing has been done of the Lord. You know, I mean, my brothers and sisters, a good way to become discouraged is to always be waiting on somebody else to tell you you did a good job. Now, it's fine. Don't get me wrong. We like to be appreciated. That's a human nature, a natural response. We love folk to see our good and speak good about our good. But if they don't, we don't get all toe up from the flow up. because they didn't say you look good. You look good because you put you together. You know you look good.